Now we go to Jeremiah 9:23. Page 724. I think the kids would memorize this. If I know, if, you know, at least I got it, but I think they did too.
Jeremiah
9:23 and 24. Thus saith Yahweh. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might.
Let not the rich man glory in his riches.
But in this let the glory one glory, in having intelligence and knowing me, that I am Yahweh, executing his sin, justice, and righteousness in the earth, that in these things I delight, declare the Yahweh. So we're going to be studying, you know, it doesn't say ahab, it doesn't say love. It says, I execute love in hased, justice, and that's the word mishpat, M-I-S, like P-A-T, so low A, you know, so it's not pat, it's pot, mishpat, and righteousness in the earth, and these things I delight declareth Yahweh. So we have to put in our forefront what is justice and be seeking justice. Delighting is also very important. What does Yahweh delight in? And so we go to Psalms 147, page 147.
Psalms what?
Psalms 147, verses 10 and 11. Now see what Yahweh delights in. He delights in hesed, mishpat, and righteousness. And that's really tzedakah.
And mishpah is justice?
Yeah, it's justice. So mishpah is very, very important.
Will you spell that again?
Okay, M-I-S-P-A-T.
Mishpah.
Yeah, and some of the ones will spell it M-I-S-P-H-A-T. So, but it's pronounced mishpah. And it comes from the word, or associated with what we're going to see is safat, which is to judge. So judge and justice go hand in hand. So justice is the noun, why safat or safat is the verb. Judge, I judge you. So 47, 10 and 11, what does he delight in? Not in the strength of horses does he delight. Not in the legs of a man does he pleasure. Yahweh has pleasure in them who revere him or fear. That's the same word. In them who wait for his hesed. So with justice and a judge also comes fearing. Now fear is the word yirah, Y-A-R-A, Yira. And it means, you know, if you're a criminal, you're afraid. If you're a righteous man, you revere. So I think a good example is a policeman. For law-abiding people, you like them and you revere them. For a criminal, you fear them, which you should. So it all depends. So he's always going to translate it revere instead of fear. But other translations will say fear. It's the same word. It all depends on what side of the spectrum you're on.
Yeah.
And then we go to Psalms 34, other things he delights in. Psalms 34, verse 11. And so we should realize we're seeking to be delightful in Yahweh. So 11 through 16. And so fear or reverence comes right along with it. If I don't revere, and the people who do not believe, they refuse to heed, do not fear Yahweh. And they do not fear his justice, and they don't not fear him as a judge. And that their actions dictate that. And here's just an example, and people gotta realize this is real. And guess what? It will come to pass, which we'll see, regardless of what you say. You know, there's a person we knew, and he's with, you know, with the Christian ministry for many years, and I saw on his Facebook he had a rainbow on his Facebook with his picture in it. And he worked into homosexuality. And so I wrote him a letter and said, you know, here's what the Word says, and we should all do this. In Galatians 6, it says, if you see somebody saying, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, you need to confront him and say, there is a judge. This is a terrible sin that you're doing. And you have time to repent, or if you die in this mode, you know, you are a dog going back to his vomit, a salad going back to the, and you will be judged for it by all means by Yahweh. So give a person a chance. And with all of us, that is our duty also, is to confront what somebody's in sin in love and the spirit of meekness. Now 34:11. Come ye children, hearken unto me, the reverence or fear of Yahweh will I teach you. Everybody there?
Is it the same word in verse 9?
Yes, it's always, revere, yeah, so he's just going to translate it revere or reverence. Revere, so there's two words. One is Yahweh, and that is the noun, and Yah, which is the verb. And so it depends on whether it's a noun or a verb. So, 12. Who is the man that desireth life, loving days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from wickedness and thy lips from speaking deceit. This is how you revere Yahweh. Depart from wickedness and do good. Aim at well-being and pursue it. The eyes of Yahweh are toward the righteous and his ears towards your cry for help. Kids, remember this one? The face of Yahweh is against such as do wickedness to cut off from the earth their memory. So, come you children, hearken unto me, the reverence of Yahweh will I teach you. Do good. Do, real simple, really simple format. And how do we know what good is? We go right here. And that's what we're going to see. What is justice? And even trying to get a definition is difficult because it's not righteousness. Righteousness is doing what is right. Well, we can all see that, but what is justice? Justice, or word from just, what is just, is legal or lawfully, what is legal or lawful is what is just, according to the word of Yahweh, Yahweh's word. Now, we have a justice department, and because it's legal or lawful does not mean it's just.
Right.
Very simply. So that's a contradiction in terms. And that's why I say I don't call it the justice department. I call it the legal department. Because laws can be wicked. And don't reproach the word justice like you do when it has nothing to do with justice. It's just the opposite.
Slander.
It's injustice. And so Supreme Court justices could be, but in many cases, just the opposite. So justice is performed by a judge, two things. To penalize the lawbreaker, and to restore and compensate the innocent party, which is called restitution. So justice is what a judge does, and really is a government, and Yahweh is is running the government, and we're going to see with Christ also. So we go to Exodus 22, verse 1, page 105. And so we'll see this in a demonstration. So justice is restoring somebody and penalizing somebody at the same time. If there is no break in the law, there's no need for a judge. Right?
But there is no law.
But there is law, and there's always law. So here's an example of justice, and more important, restitution. And why this is important is some of us have been dealt with very unjustly, and maybe the person never repents. They will be required, Christian or not, Christian especially, to and they'll be judged and have to repay that in a new earth. The only way justice can be instilled, because a person is saying they're sorry, and they enslaved you for 20 years, and then they die, and then in the new earth, Christ says, "Oh, it's forgiven." Well, is that justice to the person you enslaved? No. Does he feel good about that? No, he is 20 years being enslaved. The guy who got off would love that, but that's not justice because the person has not been restored. So think of this. When a man steals an ox or a sheep.
Okay, where are we?
22 verse 1.
Okay.
We're going to go and see some justice enforced. When a man steals an ox or a sheep and slayeth it or selleth it, with five of the herd shall he make good for the ox, or with four of the flock for the sheep. So very simply, if you steal, the judge is going to penalize you, and the person you stole it from is going to be rewarded more than what you stole. That's called justice, Yahweh's justice. If in the place of breaking in the thief be found, and he is smitten so that he died, there is due for him no shedding of blood. Okay? He got his justice. And since he didn't do you any harm, you're okay. Should the sun have arisen upon him, there would be shedding of blood due for him. He is surely to make restitution. If he had nothing, then to be sold for his theft.
To be sold.
Yeah, and so very simply, and so think of this on the new earth. It's very important to stay right with Yahweh. That if you don't have it, I don't have anything. Oh. Well, you know, what are you going to do to me? Well, we're going to sell you. And you're going to be a slave until that money's paid off. If the thing stolen is found in his hand, whether ox or ass or sheep alive, with two shall he make restitution. So not only that, you're going to double what you just did. Justice. When a man causes a field or a vineyard to be depastured, which means he put his sheep or animals on there and they ate everything, or has sent in his own cattle and stripped the field of another, he shall surely make restitution, which is justice, out of his own field according to the yield thereof, or if all the field he depastured with the best of his own field or with the best of his own vineyard shall he make restitution. When a fire breaketh out and hath come upon thorns, and so there is consumed a stack of sheaves or standing corn or the field, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. So obviously this is an accident, so he just has to restore what was lost instead of paying a penalty in addition to. 7. When a man giveth unto his neighbor silver or jewelry to keep, and it is stolen out of the house of the man, if the thief be found, he shall give in restitution double. But if the thief be not found, then shall the owner of the house be brought near unto Yahweh, or to Elohim, to swear that he hath not laid his hand on the property of his neighbor. So, Yahweh delights in this. You know, this isn't taught justice. And we need to teach it. And we're going to say it's all the way through the Word. Now we go into the New Testament and say, well, this is the Old Testament. I live in the New Testament. Well, let's say 2 Corinthians 5. Page 184. And most people will say it. So Andrew Womack or other people are going to say, we live in the New Testament. Christ has taken care of all that. Guess what? We can sin. We can hurt people. And all I've got to do is say I'm sorry, and I'm forgiven, with no restitution. And that's what they're thinking is. Well, that's not justice for the person who was hurt, is it? So 2 Corinthians 5, this is very important. Well, this is the New Testament, right? Okay, 10 and 11. And you want to read that, Esther?
For we all, unless these be made manifest before the judgment seat of the Christ, that each one may get back the things done by means of the body, according to the things which he practiced, whether good or corrupt.
Okay, right there. Very simple. People are going to be judged. We're going to see Christ as the judge, and he's going to implement justice. All right, to all of us. Now we go to Colossians 3:23. Well, I don't know about that. Let's see if there's any other verses. 3:23.
What page?
Yeah, that is 207. Okay, 23-25, Isaiah.
23.
Colossians 23-25.
23-25?
Through 25.
Yes.
Whatsoever
ye may be doing, from the soul be working at it also, as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that from the Lord ye shall duly receive the recompense of the inheritance. Unto the Lord Christ are ye in service. For he that attacked unrighteously shall get back what he had unrighteously done. And there is no respect of persons.
Okay, that's real simple. I mean, just, and is that justice? Well, yeah. I mean, and so if you did something, and when we hurt people, we make it right. It's expected to be right, and if we really hurt them, then we're going to make it not only if it was intentional, you know, if it was an accident, then you just, you know, if I wreck somebody's car, it's my job to replace that car. Now, if I stole somebody's car, all right, it's a whole other thing. I'm not there just to restore his car. I'm there to make a penalty on that whole transaction. And if I do it while I'm alive, everything's fine. You know, it's been washed off. If I don't, and I think I get away with it, I think of Aaron's ex-wife, Mari. Can she get away with the evil she's done? No. So whether in this life or in the next life, justice is coming. Justice is coming to restore Aaron, but also she's going to pay. And she's a Christian. But she will pay. And that's right. It's the only way it can be. Otherwise, justice is not served to all these people who were hurt in the process. And that's why we see the judgment is for the good and the
bad.
Okay. Well, how can I be judged for the good and the bad? I thought everything was a free lunch.
I've always thought that.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing that hits us many times is people go, oh, no. Well, just don't do it.
Or go fix it.
Yeah, or fix it what you've done. But if you think you can get away with this, you're not going to get away with it. So why would that even be in your heart as being a son of Yahweh? And why would you even consider that roost in your house that I'm embezzling at the store? So I'm at a business, and I'm taking thousands of dollars from this company. And guess what? They never miss it. I got away with it, right?
You did.
No, you didn't. that's justice. We're going to see when it comes into it. Now, we're not going to go there, but for people who want to go to more places, it's Ephesians 6:8, 1 Corinthians 3:13-15, Romans 2:5-10, Galatians 6, verse 8, Romans 14:10, and 1 Peter 1:17. So we're going to find out first, is Yahweh is a judge, as judge. And that is Sophat. So it's S-A-P-A-T. Or it's pronounced like S-H-A-W-F-A-T. So that's the strong numbers 08199. Mishpat is strong number 04941. Let's go to Psalms 7 and 8. Or it's chapter 7. It
makes me think
page
of
531.
Christian marriages where one spouse is treated like a slave.
Yeah.
It'll get even out.
Yeah, well, that's child support. So child support is slavery. And it's very unrighteous, and our courts do that in our Justice Department because it's easy for expedient for them. That way they don't have to make any decisions. And obviously justice would be with a child would be what? On divorces.
No,
so what would happen?
Yourself.
It's 50-50. Anyway. Isn't that justice?
But there are other situations, too, where the person, like Aaron said, is treated like a slave all their life.
In a marriage, yeah.
In a marriage.
Yeah.
And they have no recourse,
But that's it. Yahweh, it's going to happen because he is a God of justice. Justice means...
that which you sow, you'll reap.
Yeah, it is sowing and reaping. It is penalizing the lawbreaker. The person needs to be penalized and restoring and compensating the innocent party. And it's a real simple thing. That is justice. And our Christianity today, I think we've been brainwashed that we got God is love, God is love. I can do anything and I'm forgiven. I've been forgiven before. It even happened. Wonderful. Right?
So rob a bank.
Yeah, I can rob a bank. It doesn't make any difference because Christ already paid that price with his blood. And so could that be? And is there no judgment? And we saw in the verses, of course there's judgment. It looks like Yahweh is judge. Psalms 7, verse 8 and 9. Milan, you want to read 7, verse 8 and 9?
Yeah. Yahweh will judge the peoples. Do me justice, O Yahweh, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity upon me. And according to...
No, oh, 9.
Let the wrong of the lawless, I pray thee, come to an end, and establish thou him that is righteous, for a terror of hearts and reins is Yahweh.
Is Elohim.
Is Elohim the righteous,
righteous one. Now we go to Psalms 96, verse 10. So Yahweh is the judge. And so I think we've gone to that extreme. It used to be the terror that people would be saying they're going to hell. And so there would be teachings by Jonathan Edwards. You're like a spider on a web being held over hell where it could be melting. You fall into hell. You know, we're not talking about that. As you know, the word hell doesn't exist in this book. But there is justice that is throughout this book. And 96:10 through 13.
That could be another purpose for the 1,000-year kingdom.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And no problem. I mean, if you did it, and even if you did it, would you complain if you're on the new earth? Mm-hmm. You should say guilty. And I guess who knows what's right for me to repay? You do. Christ, you said I need to do 3 years? Got it. 3 years of service. 10 years of service? Got it. 50 years of service? Got it. Am I going to be a slave to this person for 50 years? That's just. I deserve every bit of that. Because that's what I did. Great. Sure. And what's wrong with that? You're in paradise.
Yeah.
And you're on a new earth.
Can we just like withholding that federal tax of years?
Yeah, 10. The 13.
Okay, Psalm 96.
Yeah, Psalms 96, 10 through 13. Say among the nations, Yahweh hath become king. Surely he hath fixed the world. It shall not be shaken. He will judge the people with what?
Inequity.
Equity. Is he going to judge? Yes, and we're going to see that he actually gives that authority to his son. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth exult. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field leap for joy and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the forest shout in triumph before Yahweh, for he is coming. For he is coming to do what?
Judge
the earth. He will do what? Judge the world in righteousness and the people in his emet, or faithfulness. Very simple. He is a judge. And we got Isaiah 33, verse 22, page 678.
33, 22.
So,
what chapter again?
Most of the time, 33, Isaiah 33, verse 22. So most of us have been wrongly taught. And so but by coming to the Word, because we're not looking at the Word, but by coming to the Word and seeing what the Word says, then that's the truth that we see. And that's why I like lay people, and smart lay people, instead of ministers. More ministers had to swallow the poison in order to become a minister. Mm-hmm. Why laypers like Isaac Newton, John Locke, William Winston, John Milton, John Adams, John Quincy Adams did not. They read the book. And they find out what you're saying the book says, it doesn't say. Mm-hmm. And they go with the evidence that actually says this stuff. And you can see it right here. Here it says it right here.
Well, if we're going to get judged, what was the point in getting saved from your sins by Yahushua.
Well, yeah, you got that too, but what you got is if you can make restitution at that time, that's when you make restitution.
But you can't make restitution.
Then they know that, and you always can. Because you can serve other people. Let's say the person is dead. It doesn't make any difference.
What if you killed someone?
Yep. And so what you're going to do is you're going to serve Yahweh.
So you're just
very, very simple. Yeah. I mean, if it was premeditated, yeah. I mean, you have to understand. We're not talking about a car accident where you kill somebody. If I was out here and I needed money, so I got a knife out and I went and stabbed somebody in their heart to take their wallet. And then I got saved, and now that person's family is indigent because I killed the breadwinner, right? Great hardship went on this family for 50 years, right? The kids didn't have a father, right? Now, you're looking at you, okay. Oh, I got away. Great. What did the other people get? What about the children of the father? What about the wife of the father? Are they feeling the same way? No. They didn't receive justice, did they? They did not receive justice because they suffered for how long? 50 years.
The rest of their life.
Yeah, the rest of their life. And the person never had a father. I mean, and if he's in paradise, and guess what? There's the guy who did it, Christ. And Christ says, it's all right, everything's good, we're good. How do you feel? I'm not good. That means he got away with it, right? Right? So, I mean, so just think, about that, you know, even with a person. So here's a good example. Back in Exodus, it says if you had nothing to give, what's going to happen?
You'd be enslaved.
You're going to be sold. Because you're still going to make the restitution, right? You're still going to make the restitution. I don't want to restore. So most people say, I want to be able to sin and not restore. How's that?
But then with David and Bathsheba, or David...
That's right. And so,
I bet you David's going to be his servant, Uriah the Hittite.
It could be. And so you're like that.
He's got two. He's got adultery on top of the murder.
That's right. And so Christ knows all this stuff. And guess what? He is a perfect judge.
Right.
And guess what? David would not have a qualms serving Uriah for 50 years.
Amen.
Would he?
No.
Because he's a righteous man. I deserve every bit of that. Now, what's funny is the person who says, I don't want to serve. Well, who are you then? You do a crime, a premeditated crime.
I don't want to pay it back.
And you don't want to pay it back. Yeah. And you don't feel that's just. What kind of person are you? Every Christian will say, wait a minute, I don't want to pay back anything.
It's also a really good deterrent.
Well, and you're like, you're like, why don't you want to, well, because that's not just. No, that is just. That is just. You don't understand what the word justice even means. And you should be glad to say, get down on my knees and say, hey, instead of 50 years, I'll do it 80.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because I messed your total life up. What can I do? What can I do? I'm all yours.
So I mean, what if you do something in your past and you don't remember, you damaged somebody?
Well, no, you can't. Remember the person who burnt the field? And did he do it intentionally? No. He burnt the field, and I mean, we're all going to do things, and we have no idea. You know, there's no intent there. And so remember, intent is very important. Intent was make an accident. What you did is if I wreck somebody, then I pay the penalty.
That's interesting.
It's not even a penalty. That's just restoring somebody. I wrecked their car. Well, I'm really sorry. I don't have any money. Well, give me your car. Oh no, you can't have my car because that's the only car I have. Well, that was the only car I had. Well, that's just too bad because now what is just? Now, look at the word just. Is just enter into that? What is just? Well, you say, well, of course, if you wreck somebody's car, you fix it. Well, I don't want to fix it. Then you got a heart problem. You got a real bad heart problem. And so you start thinking about, you have a heart problem right now. You know, if you're right now, and it's like the person who says, I will not kiss Christ's feet. And I might bow to him, but I'm not going to kiss his feet like some of the women did. You got a problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, you really got a problem. And when I say I'm kissing his feet, it means I'm going to do whatever he says.
Yeah.
And whatever he says for me to do, I will do it. Because this person died for me. He's just and righteous, and that is great. You know, and I have no, you know, problems whatsoever. Bring it to me, and I'll do it.
Mm-hmm. That's 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. That's justice.
Yeah, it is justice.
That's it right there.
Yeah.
You owe him.
Yeah.
He died for you at least. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15.
Yeah. Well, that. Where was I? Oh, I was in Isaiah 33:22. All right. For Yahweh is our judge. Yahweh is our lawgiver. Remember, judge always comes with law. Lawgiver. Yahweh is our king. He will save us. Let me ask you something like this. Even this, we're thinking about ministers who are teaching lies to their congregation.
And no
they know it's a lie, in order to be enriched in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Is that justice?
Yeah.
I mean, they need to be paid for that, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Constantine wanted to do. So the Emperor of Rome, he said, I do not want to be baptized till I'm right before I die. And that's what most people like to do.
Because, at least he said it.
Yeah, because it was just like, I'm going to do all my evil and then wipe it all out. And then I die. Oh, great timing.
I don't want to get in the word
I don't want to have to.
I can remember thinking.
Pay for my mistakes.
That's Islam.
Yeah.
If you die in battle, that's jihad, that everything you've done is wiped clean.
Yeah, it's wiped clean. And so you're looking at that same situation. So that's our natural man. So if we're having problems with this, then we've got internal problems when it comes down to it.
What does that take? Check up from the neck up?
Yeah, you know, and this is, we've got a hard heart because, you know, I don't like to pay debts. We can see Christ is judge now. So Yahweh is judge, Christ is judge. And that's Isaiah 11. And we're getting more into this because we're going to find out we're supposed to be judges. And if we're not, I can see as a whole, the Christian body is not doing their duties, period. And that's a shock. Christ is the judge, Isaiah 11, verse 1 through 4. Esther, can you read that?
But there shall come forth a shoot from the stalk of Jesse, and a sprout from his roots shall bear fruit. And from the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and reverence of Yahweh. So will he find fragrance in the reverence of Yahweh. And not by the sight of his eyes will he judge, nor by the hearing of his ears will he decide. But he will judge the righteousness in who are poor, and decide with equity for the oppressed of the land.
Speak up.
And he will smite the land with the
scepter
of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips, and he will slay the lawless one.
Yes, and with the breath of his lips will he slay the lawless one. Now, you got to understand, what's going to happen to lawless people who never make Yahushua their Lord? They're going to perish. Well, that's not right. Yeah, it is. It's real simple. So, with all of our society, you have the grain and you have the chaff, right? The grain is bearing more fruit, and then your chaff, you know what happens to the chaff? You burn it up. That's the two conditions. What, you're either grain or you're chaff.
And you have freedom of will to choose.
That's right. And so very simply, and people can choose to serve the Creator, and we've done this in the past, or they can sue to rebel and satisfy the lust of their flesh. They'll pay and that's called justice, and they'll pay the price for that. Oh, I think everybody should get in. There's a guy named Rob Bell who did that. Love wins. Love wins. So there's no hell, and guess what? Everybody goes and serves a long time, and everybody gets converted, and everybody's together in heaven. And that's, he made a book on that, so people believe that. So everybody, because they can't understand, know, we know the immortality of the soul. There's no such thing, and this is what happens. Your theologies of man have caused huge problems. But now we go to John, about Christ as judge, John 5, verse 22. Now, let me ask you something. Here is Apostle Paul. He was at the stoning of Stephen, right? What happens if Stephen had a family? What should Paul do?
All the people.
All the people, but at least Paul, because he's not converted, he should find Stephen's family and ask them, what do you want me to do to restore this situation? Because I was part of it. Right? That's Apostle Paul. 5:22-23. For neither does the Father judge anyone, but all the judging have been given unto the what?
Son.
That all may honor the Son. And so guess what? The Jews have no choice, because it says the Father is not going to judge, it's going to be the Son. If you do not honor the Son, you do not honor the Father, so you're not in.
And they don't acknowledge.
Yeah, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He that does not honor the Son does not in fact honor the Father who sent him. Very simply. So Christ is the judge, and I won't go there going on, but that's Matthew 25:31-33. Remember, he is the great, or the goats and the sheep, judgment. Mm. And what does he do with the goats? Depart from me. And they're destroyed. Well, is that just? Yes, that is justice. That is the penalty of breaking laws. Consequences. And we also see Christ as judge on Revelation 6:1, he opens up the seven seals to bring judgment upon the earth.
Yeah.
And Revelation 19:11, on the horse when he comes down and kicks butt. And then in 20:11 through 12, it's the white throne judgment. And so he's right there. Well, Jesus is love. Yes, absolutely. And if you're not written in the book of life, what's going to happen to you? Yeah, you're thrown in the lake of fire. And I will believe that's the easy way. In my opinion, that's the easy way. There's going to be some time to pay. There's going to be some penalty to pay, because everybody is going to be judged according to their works, whether good or bad.
Yeah, because
suffering death is a really quick thing. You know, a person could be Stalin and just destroy millions of people's lives, and a bullet to the head is what he wants.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a piece of cake. So, is that justice to the people he rather lives? No, so we always have to look at the injured party. We're looking at the person who did it, but what about the injured party? So, it's really simple. So if Tim's the judge, and Wendy takes $100,000 from me intentionally and blows it, and we come before him and say, but when he says, I'm sorry, Tim, and what are you going to do? Well, we're both forgiven. She says you're sorry to me. That's good enough for me. Is that justice on my part?
No.
I'm the injured party. Mm-hmm. There's $100,000 that is gone. And so,
you demand money.
Yeah, so well, you just got to, let's just start thinking about that. Now, believers is judge. I'm going a little too long. I have to jump some things. But believers have judged. So Moses placed, and this is where we're trying to get to, we're supposed to be judges. So Moses made judges, and that's in Deuteronomy 1:16-17, Deuteronomy 16:18-20, 2 Chronicles 19:4-7. But there's a good requirement here. Let's just look at this. Let's go to Deuteronomy 1:16. And as our part is being judges.
Chapter 1:16-17.
This is important. So when we're judging, we've got qualifications. Well, he's a family member. Now take that into consideration. He's done a lot of good stuff. You're not supposed to take that into consideration. And we're going to see right here, 16:1-17. And I charge you, judges, that at that time, saying, you are to hear between your brethren, and shall judge righteously between each man and his brother and his sojourner. You shall not take note of faces in judgment. So the small as the great shall you hear. You shall not shrink from the face of any man, for judgment unto Elohim belongeth. But the thing which is too hard for you, shall bring near unto me, and I will hear it. Now let's go to chapter 16, verse 18. So it's very important, and for judges and courts, when they're doing this, they're taking bribes, and a bribe could be, you know, I have a membership in a country club, and people really like me. I'm not taking money, but I've got prestige because I've got this person to go.
Chapter 16, what?
Verse 18 through 20. Judges and officers shall thou appoint thee in all thy gates which Yahweh thy Elohim has given unto thee by thy tribes. And they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not take note of face, nor shalt thou accept a bribe, for a bribe blindeth the eyes of wise men and pervert the words of righteous men. What is right shalt thou pursue. Isn't that great? It says it twice.
Thou shalt not take note of faces.
Yeah. You're important. Yeah, you're important. Well, this person is a vagrant.
That's Pompeo with Hillary Clinton. He didn't care who she was.
Yeah, that's right.
Other people there weren't going to do it because they're afraid.
Well, wait a minute. Here's a vagrant, and I ran over the vagrant's dog. Well, he's a vagrant. Tough.
Shouldn't have a dog in it.
Yeah, but and what are you? You are a taxpaying citizen. You pay taxes. Go ahead. I know you, Wendy. You're sorry, aren't you? Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. Go ahead. It's all right. Go get another dog. And that's seeing faces. What is right shalt thou pursue, that thou mayest live and possess the land which Yahweh thou Elohim has given unto thee. We got that. We have bad judges. And remember, Samuel had two sons. Of all the things, the prophet and judge Samuel, and had two sons, and that's 1 Samuel 8:1-5, and they were taking bribes. So just because a person is a church member or a prophet or, you know, a minister in their church doesn't mean they're a judge. They should not be a judge. And we also saw that with Eli's sons, and they were terrible. And he was a priest, a high priest, and he would not do it. But us as judges, we come back to this, is 1 Corinthians 6, and all of us should know it. Well, judge not, lest you be judged. People will say that.
Yeah.
And that's out of context, because we have a whole chapter that deals with judging.
We just say 1 Corinthians what?
Chapter 6. We'll kind of sum up pretty quick here. This is our very simple. We have, and we've said this before, but churches do weddings. They don't do divorces. And that is, they're in sin. Very simply, they're in sin. They should be doing divorces. And they should be judging
all. I don't.
Yeah, no, but I mean, as a righteous individual. And anybody else, they should be 50-50. Very simply, very simply. And if somebody has broken their vows, then they're the guilty party. So they should not be 50-50. You know, if somebody has done something, we need to take that into consideration. Because now we have, no-fault divorce. Mm-hmm. Because it's expedient that we don't have to go through that. Well, that is unjust in the whole concept. Because the guilty party now gets away with it. So, 6 verse 1 through 5. Dare any of you, having a matter against his brother, sue for judgment before the unrighteous and not before the saints? I mean, how much obvious is it going to be? You're not supposed to go to the courts. Period. And so anybody gets married, part of the vows should be, if we get divorced, we will not go to the courts. We will go to the saints. That should be part of every wedding vow there is. Very simply. Or know you not that the saints shall judge the world? We're talking about judging righteousness. And if by you the world is to be judged, unworthy are you of the smallest judgment seats? Know you not that ye shall judge messengers and not them matters of this life? If then for matters of his life you have judgment seats, them who are of no account in the assembly, these are you sitting thereupon? The people who are taking bribes, the people who are taking account of faces, they're on the judgment seats. With a view to shame in my speaking, so it is it possible that there is among you not so much as one wise man who shall be able to judge between his brethren? He's got a whole book on precedent. A brother with brother sueth for judgment, and that before unbelievers. So, I mean, very simply, we've got it. And we'll go to the last verse, and this is this good thing. In Zechariah 7, so you got Malachi, the last book, the book before it is Zechariah.
Zechariah what?
7. We also, one illustration, I just did a post in the paper that Henry Duncan did on the telescope and the microscope. And he says, as you look at the telescope, you see Yahweh's huge creation, infinite. And then when you look in the microscope, you see the same creation, but in reverse. Now, what happens when we look in this book? How much more, in the Hebrew, how much more, like looking at a microscope, so we got the natural world, top and bottom, and how about the spiritual worlds right here? So we put the microscope on this book. 7, verse 8 and 11, and this is really good. The word of Yahweh came unto Zechariah, saying, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, saying, with true justice give you judgment. And Hesed and Raham observe you one with another. And the widow and the fatherless, the sojourner and the humble, do not ye oppress. And wickedness between one man and another do not ye devise in your hearts. Howbeit they refuse to give heed, and we're talking about in Jeremiah's time, the people in Jerusalem. Howbeit they refuse to give heed, but put forth a rebellious shoulder, and their ears made they hard of hearing, that they might not hear, and their heart turned it they into adamant, and that's like stone, that they might not hear the law, nor the words which Yahweh of hosts sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. And so there came great wrath upon the Yahweh of hosts, from Yahweh of hosts. Therefore it came to pass that just as he cried out, and they hearkened not. Oh, this is great. Times are tough now. Oh, you're crying out for help? Guess what? So you say to cry out, and I used not to hearken, saith Yahweh. But I whirled them over all the nations whom they had not known, and the land was made desolate after them, that none passed through and returned. Yea, they made of a delightful land a what? A desolation. This is justice. But if you go back to verse 8, we're going to see some great words. You're going to see the word with true, that's the word emet, which also means faithful. So faithfulness goes with hesed. They're really, hesed is always faithful, but faithfulness is not always hesed. Justice, mishpat, give you judgment, which is shalpat. And has said, and I don't know if you guys ever read the paper I did, but it's called Raham. And it's really good, compassion. And compassion is not the correct word. But look at that. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 great words that are throughout the word that speak everything. So if you ever want to learn what Raham means, I did a paper on that. And it's a wonderful study that Rothrab did. So every time where Raham is, he's going to translate compassion. So you know where Raham is. But compassion, let me ask you this. What would you say compassion means? That's one of my things in my paper. I mean, we're looking at words to communicate to us, right? Okay, I'm just going to tell Izzy. Or let anybody volunteer here. Define compassion. What do they think? There's no wrong answer.
It's going to be really kind.
Caring for.
Pardon me?
A caring for.
Okay.
Sympathetic, possibly.
Can I say sympathetic?
Love.
Sympathy.
Pardon me?
Loving.
And they're all wrong. Mm-hmm. Compassion is passion. What's that?
Suffering.
Suffer. Con means with. Oh. Suffer with.
It's empathy. Like empathy.
well, I suffer with. And so there is a part
of empathy.
Let me finish. Mm-hmm. But to suffer with doesn't help a person, does it? Mm-hmm. Now, if a child is dying, you have compassion for that child if I can't do anything about it. So that is compassion. I'm suffering with that child. But most of us are thinking of compassion and kind. That has nothing to do with it. But raham is the Hebrew word that they're what it is it says. And then you get to see Yahweh.
I don't understand what you just said. Raham is what?
It's the word translated compassion. Uh-huh. So just like loving kindness is the word hased.
Yeah.
And we know hased is not loving kindness, right?
Right, right.
But he has to translate it. He's got to come up with the English word.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. Because there is no English word for hesed. There's no Greek word for hesed. Period. Now, raham, there's no English word for it. And it's, but it's not compassion. But every time you see the word compassion, you know it's the word raham.
Which is?
Well, you have to read the paper. I mean...
We
don't have time. It's just a point. It's 8 o'clock. The point was being, this is read the paper because it's about 4 pages explaining to you through the scriptures, raham. Really simple. In Maui, did they have a word for snow? Can you give them the word snow? I mean, let's say 200 years ago. What is snow? What's the word snow? Can I translate... into their language the word snow. They don't have a word for snow. So I have to explain to them, transliterate, well, it's this stuff that comes, it could take me 100 words to explain one word, right? It's this stuff that comes down that's white, that is actually vapor, and it has to be so cold, and so you explain. That's the word snow. And so they would say, this is the definition of the word snow. But we're always looking for a one word. No, it doesn't happen that way. Just like hesed is, we can't do that with one word. What is hesed? Well, and then you have to go into a big thing. Okay, now we'll stop. Well, wait a minute. I'm going to have a prophecy for the people who are watching or listening. Well, Father, we thank you for this fellowship and thank you for these words of Christ our Lord. Be patient and be seeking my guidance and my counsel as you have been in the past, and keep looking unto me and being bold and going after it, going with zeal and robust, that I live, that I abide within you, that I am your God and your Father and your Savior, as well as my Son is also. So come boldly for the throne in works of righteousness, that you can claim and have the confidence that I will answer your supplications and your prayers, and come boldly to me, and I will turn your life into the life that you've always wanted. Amen. Thank you, Father. See you next time.